This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان وبعد سيدي أحمد زروق قدس الله تعالى سره. He continues, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ فُقَرَاءَ هَذَا الْعَصْرِ أُبْتُلُوا بِخَمْسَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. He says that I saw the aspirants to the spiritual path were afflicted with five things in my time. He was so many centuries ago, and he's complaining about the affliction of the people who claim that they're taking the spiritual path, what is making them deviate or lose track of where they're coming from, what they're doing, and where they're going. And perhaps if one of the masters of our age were to write something like this now, it would be more than five things. But suffice to say that the decay is most probably cumulative, and if not anything else, then at least human nature is human nature. So there are certain things that are universally troublesome for the Salik, no matter what time or age they live in. So we should take heed from them. That the fuqara, those people who claim poverty for only what Allah has, and aspire to travel this path, they were afflicted with five things. Number one, إِثَارُ الْجَهْلِ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. Number one is preferring ignorance over knowledge. Meaning what? Meaning those means that they need to take in order to learn, they don't take them, and they actually secretly despise them or run away from them. I've seen this amongst many people. They refer to people who know too much fiqh, quote-unquote, the idea that you can know too much fiqh or too much this or too much that, as dryness or not being spiritual or whatever. This is a bunch of nonsense. The ruhaniyah of this deen comes through the wahi that came down on the heart of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The more acquainted one is with it, the more that person's maqam has resembled the maqam of wilaya. Knowledge is something without which there is no spirituality that's of benefit. Otherwise, if you want spirituality, Iblis was a very spiritually powerful person, as was Hitler and Stalin and all of these people. Without it being set straight through the knowledge of wahi, it will end up just being destructive. And this preference of ignorance over knowledge, fleeing from the ulama, fleeing from their aqwal, wanting to hear feel-goody type things rather than bring one's life into conformance with the commandment of Allah and with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is an affliction. If you have this affliction, and you know, when people ask you what does tasawwuf mean to you, say, well, you know, we focus on more spiritual things and peace and love and this and that and other thing. All those things are there, mashallah. You're not going to get any beneficial spirituality, and you're not going to get peace and love. You're not going to get any of those things in any meaningful way without understanding the Sharia and understanding the Aqidah of Islam. And those things will guide you through your tasawwuf and allow you to interpret the experiences that you have properly, rather than making you a person who has the habits of a spiritually powerful person and then diverting that spiritual power toward wrong things like making money or trying to make yourself into a big man or big person that people respect and come under their influence, etc., etc. And there's not enough that we can talk about with this point. And number two, al-ightiraru bi kulli na'iq, being fooled or falling into delusion every time a crow makes its squawking noise. This is ridiculous. It's become horrible. Social media has amplified this to the point that it would have been laughable if it wasn't something really we should cry about. So you have people, you know, I believe it's the job of every Muslim to spread light wherever they go, and they should be light, and everything should be light, and we should all just be light. And it's like, dude, what the hell does that even mean? Like, you're supposed to be teaching people the teachings of Islam, of the words of the book of Allah Ta'ala. You're supposed to be teaching people the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If someone said, you know, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used miswak before he prayed his tahajjud prayer because he wanted his mouth to have a pleasant odor when it recited the book of Allah Ta'ala, people say, oh man, it looks Molvi Saab up his Molvi stuff again. But like, you know, when someone has a Twitter account filled with, or Facebook account filled with fluffy stuff that you don't really even have to be a Muslim in order to say or know, and that's all they talk about, then you know that there's something missing. And that something which is missing is deen, because we're not humanists. Humanism. What are you going to do with human? What are you going to do with humanity? Yom al Qiyamah, they're going to be entire aqwam that are going to be thrown into the garbage heap of the hellfire, and no one will be able to save them. That day, you don't need to have connection with your humanity. That day, you need to have connection with your Lord. And I'm not saying to be inhuman or whatever. In fact, much of the path has to do with being having salama in your fitrah, being sound in your fitrah. But even though that thing is something that comes from Allah Ta'ala and is for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and you'll only attain it through implementing the teachings of wahi. So every time someone says something that's fancy, if you run after it, or even amongst the ulama, I mean, imagine this, if there's like, you know, 20 sheikhs in your land that are competent and qualified, and every time one of them says something, you go in that direction, and then the next time the next person says something, you go into a different direction, and the next time the next person says something, you go into a third direction. If you have a vector that's being pulled in all directions at the same time, what's the net effect? It's zero. They all cancel each other out. You don't go anywhere. You don't get anything. If you dig a little here, you dig a little there, you never hit water. You can't be distracted by the noise that every single person makes. Rather, you have to find where your benefit is and stick to it. وَالتَّحَوُنِ فِي الْأُمُورِ just laxity in all of your things. Laxity in saying your zikr, laxity in what you eat and drink, laxity in what you look at, laxity in what you listen to, laxity in the company that you keep. Not because you don't know that this is not beneficial, just because you're being lazy. And that's one of those things, you know, there's 100 people who wish for an opportunity to do something. This is why everyone always complains about, oh, immigrants are taking our jobs. Yeah, if somebody comes from a place where they can't make ends meet and they can't provide for their children, heck yeah, they're going to be happy to work hard, and they're going to hold on to that job that you think is not worthy of you. They're going to hold on to it for dear life, and they're going to outperform you in it. If you're lax about something, you have no one to blame but yourself. You have nobody to blame but yourself. And this is something Allah Ta'ala literally handed it to us on a silver plate. We don't have to worry about where we're going to eat from. We don't have to worry about shelter. There's no war going on. There's none of these things going on. But being lax about our awrad, being lax about our awqat, about our timings, our schedules, things like that, this is something that, you know, it's a choice that we make. And if we make that choice, then a great part of khair is going to pass us by. At-ta'azzuzu bit-tariq, seeking dignity through the name of your tariqah, or through the name of your sheikh, or through the name of your who you associate with. And this is something very disgusting, actually, about the modern practice, or the cultural practice, I should say, of tasawuf, which is not based in wahi, but is just kind of the cultural practice of tasawuf that's come up. If your sheikh is a wali of Allah, the fact that you took bay'ah with them, or that you attend their lessons, or that you listen to their teachings, or that you, mashallah, posted their picture up on your Facebook wall or whatever, it doesn't mean you're going to go to Jannah. It's not like the angels on the Yom al-Qiyamah are like the Israeli custom officers that they're going to go through your Facebook page to look for, like, whatever. Okay, does he have the picture of the right sheikh up on his wall? Okay, let him in. Remember that there are anbiya alayhimus salam, their own wives are not going to make it to Jannah because of their iniquity. And if someone could have built the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his own uncle Abu Talib, a man that all of us have respect for because of what he did for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's not going to help him on the day of judgment to get into Jannah. Why? Because the thing he needed to do himself, he didn't do it. So instead of being somebody who, you know, puts their surfboard onto the wave of how amazing your sheikh is or how amazing your tariqah is, maybe it's time for you to, you know, grab your sibha and do a little bit of Allah Allah and struggle with yourself, so that instead of riding the wave of other people's efforts, you can contribute a little bit yourself as well. Someone might say, well, how could I ever be as amazing as my sheikh is? The more amazing you are, the more amazing your sheikh gets, because your sheikh receives the reward and the progress that comes from your progress. This is a basic understanding of deen, that addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi, the one who guides a person to good is like as if he did it themselves. So imagine this, as you're reading this and benefiting from all of these wonderful and pious words, Sidi Ahmad Zarruq, rahimahullah ta'ala, his maqam is in the barzakh, going up higher and higher. So don't be a sap. Don't be somebody that the mashayikh, when you meet them on the day of judgment, you'll meet all of these people one way or the other. May Allah ta'ala make the meeting in khair and in afia for all of us. You'll meet all of them one way or the other. You'll see them and they'll see you. Instead of that day being like, you know, you just hitchhiked a ride on the back of the pickup truck without asking. Instead, that day, if you could say, like, I did my best, I did something with your teachings, and look, you know, you benefited from it somehow. The latter is manifestly superior to the former. If you have a tariqah, don't post it up on your Facebook and your Twitter. Don't introduce yourself to other people with it. Rather, be a good person, and then later on, when the people find out what tariqah you're associated with, let that impress them later on. If you really want to, honor the mashayikh and you want to give dignity to the mashayikh, that's the way to do it. Someone once told me, says that sometimes there are people who hate on Sufism, and so they ask me, "Are you Sufi?" And so he goes, "My standard answer is, I'm not, but my sheikh is." That's the way you're supposed to answer questions like that. Our grand sheikh, Mawlana Sayyid Hussein Ahmed Madani, rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, he used to sign his name as what? He used to sign his name as Nange Aslaf, is the embarrassment of our elders. And he had too much, even though he lived in Medina Munawwara and he was a resident there for 16 years. He taught the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Ottoman Empire when the army of the Sharif treacherously handed him over to the British, and he was imprisoned in Malta. Then he had to come back to India after that. And he was known by the entire qawm as Madani. But he never used to sign his name Madani. He would always sign his name as Faizabadi. Why? Because of his humility and his not wanting to be presumptuous with regards to sacred things. And we, on the other hand, khalas, you see your brothers and sisters and ourselves, the Twitter profile is the picture of whatever, the Na'al Sharif or of Medina Munawwara, this and that. And then, you know, the name is like Madani Sufi Chishti Naqshbandi 2015, whatever. And then, afterward, you know, when you DM a girl, about how pretty her hijab is or whatever, what you don't realize is, other than the stupidity of what you're doing at the time, you're also bringing all of these things into disrepute, and you're also destroying the sanctity of all of these things. And everything is a continuum. The Sufism of a fasiq is what? Is not to associate your fisq and your stupidity with the deen. And there's none of us that is free from sin. So we should be very careful about how we use these things, that we only invoke them in a way that will bring them honor, rather than trying to piggyback off of their honor for us, because that's not what this thing is about. And the more people will try to use tariqah and try to use tasawwuf and try to use deen in general for financial benefit, political benefit, social benefit, the more it will turn people whose iman is weak off from deen, and the more it will degrade Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of these people used to do that. None of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, none of them. They all were very humble with regards to their nisbah, with regards to their connections to the things of deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the haram of Makkah Mukarramah on the day of the Fath with his head bowed so low that his beard touched the saddle of his camel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're not people who were, who shouted slogans or made claims with regards to their own maqam or with regards to what they had in order to impress other people or show off or whatever or make themselves feel good about themselves. Rather, in fact, if anything else, the deen made them scrutinize themselves even more closely. Sayyid Ahmad Zarruq continues, he says, the fifth point is what? Isti'jalul al-fathi duna shartihi. Expecting that you're going to receive some sort of spiritual opening without fulfilling the conditions of that spiritual opening. That a person hasn't changed their life, they haven't changed their company, they're still not scrupulous about, whatever they eat and drink, they're still not paband and steadfast in their timings, in their day, or their awrad, or their presence of mind in their awrad, or in fulfilling all the conditions of receiving an opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they're like, well, I've been in this tariqah for like 10 years and I haven't gotten anything out of it, this whole tasawwuf thing, I don't know about it, man. It's okay. I mean, there are some people who they receive their fath, very quickly. And some people it takes time. And that's the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created people like that. And then on top of that, there's some people who don't receive their fath after a long time. And it's not because Allah created them to receive it slowly. It's just because they're not actually doing any of the things that make things happen. Which is another thing that people think. Somehow, the spiritual world doesn't have any rules or it's magical or whatever, and the sheikh should be able to read Ayatul Kursi and on you, and you're gonna fly like some sort of waking state of LSD type experience. It doesn't work that way, and alhamdulillah, it doesn't work that way. And anyone who thinks it works that way should probably join some sort of obscure form of Hinduism. They'll probably enjoy themselves more, where they'll bring the actual LSD, and then they can trip out on whatever experience they want to, and whatever happens on the other side is their problem. That's not how these things work. The spiritual world is more order than the physical world does. The order is even more strict, and the results from following the rules are more dependable even than the results in the physical world. The akhirah has more ranking and order in it. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعضكم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. Look how we have favored some of you over others. And the akhirah, indeed the akhirah, will have greater disparity between ranks and will show greater favor for some over others. Why? Because it's the rules that govern the spiritual world are more strict and more solid than the rules that govern the physical world. So Sidi Ahmad Zarruq then, he said that these five, submitting to these five afflictions has caused five ill effects in the murids. And I see the connection between them is what? Is that somebody who is trying the system out but not actually playing according to the rules, after a while, when they see there's no result, because they're not actually doing the things that get them results, they, instead of blaming their own nafs, which is where the blame should lie, they blame the system itself and try to find alternatives to the system. And so what are they? It says, number one, itharul bid'ati ala sunnah, that a person should seek spirituality out of reprehensible innovation rather than out of the sunnah itself. As somebody who gets more excited about, about the special brand and the special color of their sheikh's tasbih than they do about using miswak or about praying two rak'ahs after the sun rises. What is it? Because they think that the sunnah is not going to get them results. And so maybe they have to look for results in something else. This is nonsense. And, at least having the same color tasbih as your sheikh is not it's not reprehensible in and of itself. But there are, it's, you know, it can be if a person has the aqidah of like, you know, this is like a shart or a condition of spiritual progress. But, you know, most people, at least umuman, groups of people are not so susceptible that to that type of flawed thinking. But there are things that are bid'at in the deen that are not, they're not part of Islam, they're not part of the deen, and people make them up and they take great pride in them. Instead of looking to those things for spirituality, it's part of the actual love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look to his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam. وَاتِّبَعُ أَهْلِ الْبَاطِلِ دُونَ الْحَقِّ, following the people of batil, of falsehood, rather than the people of haq, which I interpret as, for this age at least, following the people who tell you what you want to hear rather than the people who tell you what you need to hear. And this has become an entire industry in our community, and we seek help from Allah Ta'ala, and our complaint and our sadness we can only share with Allah Ta'ala about this issue. وَالْعَمَلُ بِالْهَوَىٰ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ وَأَجْلِ الْأُمُورِ وَأَجْلِ الْأُمُورِ عَفْوًا. And acting not on any sort of principle or on any sort of usul, but according to one's whim in everything one does, or in the most important things that a person does. Again, with regards to your decisions of what you buy, what you sell, who you transact with, what you know, what you read, what you, who you take as your leaders in deen, etc., instead of like, you know, just trying to be like a surfer and like, whoa, that's amazing, I'm going to do that because it makes me feel really good. Try to cut your brain in on the deal, and you know, sit and think about the decisions that you make with regards to your deen. Why are you making them? Are you just saying Ameen out loud because that's what the Arabs do and you're self-hating Desi or whatever? Or are you doing it because you read the hadith and you like understand the proof and you feel it's superior? I have absolutely, absolutely no objection with someone who does the latter, even if I don't agree with them. But the former, you have to understand how that's not helping anybody. You have to understand how that's not helping anybody at all. And this is a big thing, like in our community, that we pick leaders based on demographic considerations or based on like marketing considerations. The deen is not about marketing. It's not about marketing. It's about content. It's about substance. It's not about style. It's not about any of those things. It is an usuli matter, and it needs to be treated such. And somebody who doesn't understand how those usul work maybe should sit and learn them. Allah Ta'ala teach myself and teach all of us where his rida is, so that we can follow it. وَطَلَبُ الطُّرُحَاتِ دُونَ الْحَقَائِقِ, seeking out absurdities rather than reality. Seeking out absurdities rather than realities. There are some people whose tasawuf is about, you know, seeing dreams or doing miracles, and there's some people whose tasawuf is about the undying concern inside of their heart that the day I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should be pleased with me. You have to understand how the second is manifestly superior to the first, and how the first is not an objective of tasawuf at all. I once asked Hazrat Bhaiji, they call him Bhaiji because he was a peer bhai of our sheikh, he was a brother in the tariq of our sheikh, and he was the one who made the arrangements for the Sheikh Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah ta'ala when he would visit Pakistan. And he took bay'ah with him from decades before the partition. Bhaiji is a very interesting person. He's a very stern person that most people are afraid of because they know what's good for them. He's an extremely stern person. He's a man who, when he took bay'ah with Shah Abdul Qadir rahimahullah ta'ala, who is the sheikh of Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, amongst other people. He said when he took bay'ah with Shah Abdul Qadir, he gave him the maximum weird from day one. Usually they give you a little weird like to test you out. If 40 days you can do it, then they gradually increase you, and then a person will, you know, do what they do. Most people won't ever get the maximum weird at all. He got it from the first day and he never missed it. And I've stayed with him for so many days, and I've never seen, or very rarely seen, someone who is so strict in their observation of their times and in not missing their awrad and not missing their dhikr for Allah Ta'ala, their tahajjud, all of these other things. So I once asked Bhaiji, I said, why is it that, people see dreams and, you know, all of these other things, and I very rarely see a dream about anything. He said, I don't know about you, but someone asked the same question in front of our Sheikh, Shah Abdul Qadir, and he said, there's two kinds of people, the ones who see the dreams and the ones who don't. And he asked, which one do you think is superior? And the people said, we don't know. And so the Sheikh says, the one who doesn't. Why? Because their steadfastness doesn't require any supernatural coaxing. Rather, they do what they're supposed to do because they're supposed to do it. And this is a very important insight. This is the fadila of the Ansar, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they didn't enter into Islam for any political reason or because they got beaten in battle or because of anything. They entered into Islam because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and told them about the haqq of Allah ta'ala over his creation, and they accepted it and submitted to it without even trying to put any conditions on it. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala gave them a rank that nobody else in his creation will have. And he made their Medina something that no other city will ever be, and no other place will ever have, that it has more barakah than the arsh of Allah Ta'ala itself, because in it is Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the way we should be as Muslims. Instead of seeking all of these novelty, thrill type experiences or whatever, seek Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala himself as your goal, and be persistent in attempting to attain him, even if it's a slug from the first day you start until the day you say La ilaha illallah and enter into your grave. On the other side, you'll see how manifestly superior it is. And the one who needs help in the middle through some experience or feeling or whatever, Allah will give it to you when you absolutely need it. But that's not what you seek. If it happens, it happens, and it's from the fadl of Allah Ta'ala. But you don't seek it. You don't seek the feeling. If you want the feeling, there are many narcotics which will give you a very good feeling, mashallah. If you want Allah, then you'll get Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. That you'll be called out, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Oh, contented soul, return to your Lord. Pleased with him, and he's pleased with you. That's the goal for those people, and that's what the heart was made for. Don't get your cheap thrills in absurdities. Rather, receive the value that you need, and the treasure that surpasses all other treasures, in the certainty of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the fifth one, ظهور الدعاوى دون الصدق, that this age has shown many people who make claims, and those claims don't manifest in any sort of truth. Rather, they're just made up claims. This is something really important. Our path is not one of claims. Making claims. I did this, I saw that. I did this, I saw that. The person who is quick to tell about their own wonderful states and their own wonderful achievements, that person is like the one that the tree of the sawab, the tree of the thawab and the reward that they planted for their akhirah, they went in with steel-toe boots and stomped it out while it was still a sapling. Don't make claims. Islam in general and tasawwuf in specific is not about opening a shop and then starting your marketing. It's not about that. Whoever it's about that, their amal are like stillborn child, like a child born dead already. It's not going to grow up. It's not going to become a doctor. It's not going to do anything. It's just dead. You just buried in the ground. The emergence of da'awi is something that's of people making claims about different things regarding themselves. It's completely a dangerous thing, and it will end up making a waste of a lot of people's times, not just the murid but the mashayikh as well. Don't make claims about things. If something happened, let it be the secret between you and your Allah Ta'ala, between your heart and Allah Ta'ala. Imagine if you had if you sat with your beloved, are you going to tell everybody everything that happened? the person who spills the beans about their every single experience, that person, they leave nothing between them and their beloved, because everything becomes public, which means what? That there's nothing left between them and the one that they love. Rather, keep those things between you and Allah Ta'ala. Allah may expose them himself sometimes for a hikmah known to him. But you yourself don't try to expose them. The thing that we claim is not the greatness of ourselves or our own experiences, but we claim the greatness of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you want to talk about a miracle, talk about the miracles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you want to talk about achievements, talk about the achievements of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you want to talk about eloquence and beauty, talk about the eloquence of Allah Ta'ala and the eloquence of His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Talk about the beauty of the one who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about him, Inna Allah Jamilun Yuhibbul Jamal. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Talk about the beauty of Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't draw attention to stuff you did and stuff that you said. Increase people's yaqeen in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't try to increase their yaqeen in you, because there is no yaqeen in you and I. None of us know where our end is going to be. There is no yaqeen in you and I. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He should write in His Lawh Mahfuz that we're people that He loves and that He seals our fate with it. But we never know what's going to happen until the very end. Allah ta'ala give all of us husnul khatima wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.